Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema with you guys, both of us from the Draft Network. I'm John, he is Trevor, and we are two sleeps, right?
Friday two night, sleeps, yes. Saturday. Are we counting sleeps now?
We're counting sleeps. It's just easy.
You gotta count it in like cruise terms, you know, like a 5-day, 4-night cruise or whatever, you know? We gotta start doing it like that.
My cruise experience is limited.
Have you ever been on a cruise?
I never have, actually.
I've never been on a cruise. I mean, you're from Pennsylvania, so that makes sense.
Yeah, it's not like they're... What, you just roll out your house and the cruise is right there, right? They're just...
There's a cruise dock right in Tampa Bay about 5 minutes from my house, so, you know.
So, basically, yes. How many cruises have you been on?
I think four.
You can't even remember how many.
I think four.
And are they? I've heard they're amazing. My wife's been on one. She talks them up. Says they're awesome.
Fun. They are fun. Like you could just go total because like you can't be on your phone. There's no connection to the outside world.
Wait, how did you do it? Tell the people.
Well, this is before Twitter.com. So I've been radicalized.
Could you go on a cruise now? My first Fan Friday question for you is: could you go on a cruise now if you had to? If it was offered, would you?
Depends on the length of the cruise, to be honest.
1 week.
I might have to just tell people to send me the link.
Unbelievable. Well, if it was tonight, you couldn't. We're recording Thursday night, by the way, on this podcast. And it's right about halftime, right about to be halftime in the first half of the Hall of Fame game. We decided to record so we could be done in time to watch Lamar take the field. Draft Twitter's newest son, right?
We've called some people Draft Twitter son in the past, but
he's about the easiest guy to say something positive about on Twitter and just get mass retweets. Like he's easy prey. If you're just looking for like to like blow up with impressions on Twitter, just say something positive about Lamar Jackson tonight. Like people just want to believe in it. I'm not saying he won't do positive things. I'm just saying he's going to garner that type of response. So
I feel like you opened the door to be a hater right there.
I didn't open the door. I like it to be realistic. If he's good, I hope we all
do. Doors always open is really what you're saying here.
It is.
To hate on anybody.
It is. There's me in a nutshell right there. I'll rip my own old takes if that's what the truth is. You know, we need the truth, man. That's how I feel about it. But I'm excited to watch Lamar tonight. I think he will be good, especially in this setting. He's going to... Yeah, bunch of guys that are going to be watching from their couches in a couple weeks. You know, against that athleticism, good luck, fellas. Hope you do real well. Probably going to be on ESPN's top 20 tomorrow or top 10 or whatever, and not in a positive light for them. But for Lamar, yes. So we're excited to see him. Obviously, football has started and it's underway. I always get super excited before the first moments of the first Hall of the Hall of Fame game, the first game of the season. Yep. And then it starts, and I'm like, what is this? Is a mess. What were there? Three turnovers tonight in the first 5 minutes?
It wasn't great. It was not great.
And it's not a great measuring stick for anybody because, like, none of the starters play.
Hall of Fame game's always super wonky, though. You know?
Yeah, it's not good. But I'm excited. Football's back. We got real stuff to talk about, and we're going to have actual performances to analyze here on the podcast. So it's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. We've got Fan Friday questions as well. You ready for the first one? Michael Kist.
Oh, God. We're starting with Kist?
We always actually start with Kist for some reason. I don't know if it's because we follow each other or whatever it is. His questions are always up near the top. So,
All right. Let's do it.
He says, if your clone shows up right now, what do you do and how fast do you kill it before it turns on you?
You know, this is a really interesting dynamic if you have a clone show up because, like, do y'all become best friends immediately? Do you become rivals? Like, what happens here? Where does this dynamic go? Do you think if a clone of you, John, showed up right now, would you be pumped about it or would you have fear? Tell me right now, the first thing that pops in your head.
It would not be fear, I think. It would be curiosity, definitely a lack of understanding. Wouldn't be fear, but if, like, myself just walked into the room, I'd be like, what is going on? And, you know, so it would be like, it would be some shock, some awe. I mean, that another person that good looking could actually be in existence. But Fear, I don't know. I don't think fear. And kill it. You know, Michael says kill it here. I would not kill it.
No, I think I think I'm taking him down.
Well, two of yourself, I wouldn't blame you.
The world only needs one, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, I hear also, you. Michael.
Maybe if I had a twin, I could give him my phone and I could go on that cruise.
Dude, if I had that's a good point. He could. Yes, that's what I mean. There's just too much potential. Think of all the things you could do.
Yeah, but what about the potential for revolt? You know?
I don't know. See, I would have to, you know.
You got a treaty going on with yourself, and then boom, you get backstabbed in the back by your own back. I don't think that made sense, but.
By your own back. Your own hand stabbing you, basically. But, I would not go in fully trusting, I don't think, but I would go in and say, like, I would want to discover how trustworthy this creature could be. You know, I wouldn't, like, go in and be like, hey, let's, like, I'm going to tell you all, like, my dark secrets. But now, maybe they already know them, you know? Is it cloning your mind, too?
See, and
cloning
this is fear, dude. No, I'm out. We're fighting.
If you're fighting, how do you fight your own clone? Like,
what? Nah, somebody's dying.
What if you have the same mental process? Same moves, same punches, same kicks? I don't know.
It's going to be, you know, one hell of an episode.
It is. It's going to be a bloodbath. If it ever happens, we're definitely having him on the show first thing, and then we'll rumble. We'll take care of whatever needs to happen, because people deserve that, and we also want to go viral before whatever happens. With the top 25 revealed, who was overrated and underrated, and which unranked team has a chance to make some noise, and which ranked team will disappoint? Man, it's hard to pick an unranked team that's going to make, like, legitimate noise.
Yeah, because I'm already skeptical about the ones that are ranked.
Right, exactly.
So I have a hard time looking at any of the ones that are, like, really believing in ones that aren't ranked. I find it's interesting, some of the schools that have QB changes that are still, like, ranked really high. Like, Ohio State had a lot of people leave last year, including JT Barrett. They have a brand-new quarterback this year. A lot of new defensive pieces.
Haskins, yeah.
They're number three. And, like, Haskins is good. You know, I'm not saying he's not. But, like, Oklahoma, too. Oklahoma lost the best player in college football last year. And they're still ranked number five? Sheesh. That's, yeah. I mean, like,
they don't even have a. They don't even have a for sure quarterback, do they? I mean, I know Kyler Murray's supposed to start, but.
I think it's going to be Kyler Murray. But, yeah, probably. I mean, it's so funny how you look at college football rankings and the things that matter to voters in these early preseason polls, which are the devil, by the way, are that they don't parallel to the NFL. Like, in the NFL and the Vegas odds and Super Bowl odds and everything, it all revolves around consistency. Like, who returns, and especially at quarterback. Coaches, and that comes into play too, obviously. But, I mean, you've got teams on this top 25 list that lost coaches, that lost quarterbacks, that lost all this stuff, and, like, they're still up here. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by UCF being 23 just because they still have Mackenzie Milton. I know they don't have.
Yeah. They lost Scott some Frost people, but anymore, right. But. I'm more intrigued. I think South Carolina, if you're going to pick a team that isn't in there, I think that.
Oh, that's fair. Jake
there's
Bentley.
Potential. Yes. Bentley's there. The receivers are very good. Debo Samuel, Brian Edwards. You know, they have potential on the defensive side of the ball. Rashad Fenton, some others that I thought flashed at times. TJ Brunson, again, you know, college-wise, I know we weren't crazy on him as an NFL prospect just yet, but I think that there's potential with that group from South Carolina and Oregon. You know, whenever you have a quarterback that could be one of the best quarterbacks in the country, I think it's cause for excitement, but they've also got some talented players, and they're still trying to work their way back. I think they could get into the ranked portions of things. I don't know whether I'm saying they could, you know, be a top 10 team or something like that. But then the team 18, Mississippi State, they're ranked, you know, I've been kind of touting them. I think they just have a lot of talent, a lot of players that could really make an impact this season on the college football landscape, at least. And then a couple for the NFL, too. So I think they're a team that could challenge and get into the top 10. I know that's not a super hot take because they're already ranked 18th. But
right.
Yeah, I think that.
I'm wondering how good Miami is going to be this year. Miami is such a wild card team. I know, but I don't even, how high they go up, how low they might go down.
Yeah, their quarterback really is not very good, in my opinion.
Rozier?
Yeah, Rozier. But Homer's good, the running back.
He is good.
Yeah.
Amon Richards is a stud.
They lost a lot in the trenches. Chad Thomas, RJ McIntosh, Kendrick Norton. Yeah. So a lot of talent to replace. They still have Joe Jackson, but yeah, it's their linebackers are being touted as prospects, but I think there's limitations there that teams could take advantage of. They have three prospects in the secondary, but again, how good are any of them? You know, we like Jaquan Johnson, so yeah, there's some. It is interesting across the landscape, and I feel like Auburn might feel like it's kind of there. I know they lost some people, but
I feel like Auburn's got like 90 prospects on their team,
right? They got a lot of guys, you know, that we'll be talking about, and a lot of highly heralded recruits from high school at wide receiver, and they feel like they have one of the better quarterbacks. And you know, I watched a lot of Stidham, and I know we're going to do quarterbacks next week on the podcast, but you know, I think that they need to let them cut them loose a little bit more. I wasn't really impressed, but they also they got to let them do more high degree of difficulty things this season. So maybe they'll open things up, be a little more explosive now that they've lost some of the running backs that were there last year. There's our top 25 snapshot thoughts. Fantasy season is upon us. What are five sleeper picks that will win me my league? Man, are you good at fantasy?
I mean, yeah.
Like, give me, how many leagues do you play in? How good are we talking about?
Like four or five.
Okay, and they're just casual leagues with friends, like big money leagues?
Three of them are casual-ish leagues. One of the three is for money, but then the other two leagues is like a hybrid dynasty league where we play for like a world heavyweight championship belt. And then the other one, we play for a giant trophy that's been a league for like 15 years. So I'm currently like three-peating in my longstanding league.
Do your friends, do these people know football or like?
Yes, no, okay. They do, which so is why it's just so sweet for me to be in this situation.
How many teams?
It's 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think.
You're only in a fantasy football league if there's 12 leagues.
It's 10 or 12. I can't remember. Well, the dynasty the dynasty one's 12, obviously, because you want players that
10 or 12 is the difference between Devontae Freeman or CJ Anderson, man.
This is true.
That's what it is. You know the difference if you're in a 10 team league. You're getting
Sleepers yet. I don't know sleepers. Ask me that question in like 2 weeks.
Yeah. It is
ask
hard
me
to
that
say.
Question again in 2 weeks, and I'll be able to tell you exactly zero names because you guys ain't getting my diamonds in the rough. My friends in my leagues do intel on this podcast, so you're not getting anything from me.
I don't even know what sleepers are. The thing is, like, I can tell you every player. I mean, I can tell you most players on every roster around the league and who's getting, you know, when the final 53s come out, I'll know like 95% of the players.
The thing is, though, is that like for fantasy football, people, like, somebody's a sleeper to one person and not to another.
Right.
Like, I could tell somebody Patrick Mahomes is a sleeper and people would just be like, he's not a sleeper.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, well, to somebody else, I just told them to.
Who's Patrick Mahomes?
Right.
He didn't do anything last year. That's what they'd say. So, question for me. What was that?
I said, ask me that question in 2 weeks. Yeah. Sorry.
We got to come back. I mean, we'll have to come back to it, but also at the same time, I don't follow fantasy closely enough to really be able to say, this is a sleeper pick.
I'll pick it up for you.
Okay. Question for me for the podcast. With Le'Veon Bell potentially leaving Pittsburgh after the season, is it Super Bowl or bust for the three Bs, Ben, Brown, and Bell? I mean, yes, in a way. It's not like the Steelers can't compete for a Super Bowl after the season, and they could. They'll obviously be worse without Le'Veon Bell. More than anything, it just is kind of unrealistic. As Ben gets older another year, you know, really last year was Super Bowl or bust, and they busted, and they blew a massive opportunity to win the Super Bowl in a year where other than Shazier, they were pretty much healthy across the board, going into the playoffs healthy across the board, and you could have made excuses in the past. There were no excuses for last season. They didn't get the job done. They lost a super disappointing fashion to a team that wasn't as good as them, and you know, it's kind of, when you look at Pittsburgh and you say, okay, there's your window to win a Super Bowl. Yeah, it's passing. And this is probably, it's definitely, they need to win the Super Bowl this year or it's disappointing. I mean, that's really where the expectations have to be. The roster's that talented. The AFC is weak. The Patriots, not quite the same power that they've been in the past. Although, you know, until the Steelers beat them, it's hard to say the Steelers are better. But I mean, yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's Super Bowl or bust. It was Super Bowl or bust last year and they busted. And really, I felt like that for a while. The Steelers have had easily the talent to win a Super Bowl. The AFC has not been great. I would say talent-wise, they're superior to New England in a lot of ways. But Belichick, Brady has just been better than Tomlin and Roethlisberger in every single turn. And that's made the difference. And then last year was just a colossal disappointment. So, you know, I think, yeah. It's
tough going up against the GOAT. tough having the GOAT in your conference.
If you're talking about Blake Bortles, yeah, I agree. It's really really difficult to get by him. Mark Jarvis says his girlfriend is interrupting Appalachian State scouting reports. What do I do?
The commitment.
Bud, put App State down for a second, man. They haven't beaten Michigan in years. Dude. That was a long time ago. The App State scouting reports. He says, real talk, how did Mark McLaurin get three picks off of Lamar Jackson? Great question. Did you ever watch Lamar Jackson's final college game? Or did you just gloss over it?
I don't think I studied it.
Okay. He played Mississippi State. He threw like five picks in that game. Three of them. Three of them were to Mark McLaurin. I watched that game. It was the first game I watched to Mark McLaurin. And I said, Mark McLaurin had three picks in this game. Mark McLaurin is undraftable. Like, he was he's that bad, man. And at that point, you don't need to watch any other Mark McLaurin games.
No, you really don't.
If you had a three-pick game and you're undraftable, it ain't getting any better for you.
That margin for error is low.
Dude, I mean, they were lucky. You know how these three-pick games happen for most of these guys. You know, one went off. One was like,
off the helmet, off the sprinkler head, off the coach's dog.
One was like a 15-yard overthrow. The other one was like off a wide receiver's hands who was like right in front of him wide open and like just skipped right to him. The other one was thrown right in his gut. It was actually the best of the three interceptions because he was at least standing in the right spot. But I think it was like a slant route. I'm trying to remember now. It was a slant route, and McLaurin was like right where he needed to be. Like, take two steps, and you like make the pick on a dead run, and you cut the receiver off, and you jump the route, and it looks like an instinctive play. Nope. He stands nailed to the ground. The receiver runs right for his hip, like not even aware that he's there. The receiver runs into him. The ball runs into McLaurin's gut, and they all collide, and he caught it. So I wrote on the scouting report, great hands. And then I wrote on the positives, and then the negatives I wrote, undraftable.
Yeah,
it wasn't good. It was bad.
Yeah, if you have a three-pick game and you come away from that scouting report with anything other than like at least a day two like starting point, then that's not great.
Yep. You know what is great, Trev? Football season's here. And it's time for people to get out to games. Don't always be watching at home. As fun as it is, the experience of going out to a game, man, you and I, as we sit and I say that right now, we can recall games we've been at where it's been just those experiences. Even though, yes, there's some great things about being at home, being there at least once in a while for the experience is great. Vivid Seats, guys, check it out. It's an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. Vivid Seats offers great prices for NFL games and all live events. With the NFL returning, Locked On listeners can receive 10% off your first purchase with Vivid Seats. Go to vividseats.com or download the podcast and enter the promo code Locked On. Locked On is the promo code. New customers only. Offer good through the end of August. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. Make sure you guys check that out. Some really good stuff from Vivid Seats. And it's that time of year, man. You got to get out to a game. So we really thank them for sponsoring today's podcast.
Yep.
We've got the wide receiver gauntlet drill. Who has the most catches between Michael Kist and Ben Solak? Kist.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it's Kist.
I just think the ball, you know, if Josh Allen's throwing this ball, Solak's getting knocked back 3 or 4 yards.
Yeah, it's not great.
If he lets that ball into his frame, he could die.
I've never seen Kist catch anything like a football or anything.
I've never seen either of them catch anything. I'm totally.
But I gotta think that if Kist gets like 4 beers in him, he could basically do anything he wants. So
I have seen that. I've seen Kist.
I'm going to go advantage more to Kist, knowing that X factor is always there.
Right. Yes. It's a great point. Great analysis, Trevor.
You know, that's why I'm here.
Wow. We've got a really in-depth question from Mitch here. He says, haven't been able to keep a girl around for long. I seem to get uninterested or impatient and break it off early. Why is that? Am I too immature for a long-term relationship yet? I think Trevor is single. He might be able to help.
Mitch, my friend, to quote one of the greatest shows ever, How I Met Your Mother.
Disagree.
There's two things that a relationship needs, chemistry and timing, and timing's a bitch. So that's what it all comes down to, my friend. It's about where you are and somebody else is in their lives and what they want out of it. So it's kind of a timing thing.
Wow.
Can't stress it too much.
Super wise. Super wise. We don't know how old Mitch is either. I'm trying to
You're going to get there, Mitch. I believe in you. I do.
His profile picture doesn't look like he's too old. I wouldn't sweat it, man.
Nah, he's doing all right.
It's going to happen. After seeing it in action during the Hall of Fame game, how do you feel about the new catch rule and the lowering the helmet rule?
The lowering the helmet rule sucks.
It's the absolute worst. How does anyone defend this rule? It's terrible. And the first implementation of it is terrible, like we all knew it would be.
Good Lord, man. That was like a soft hit.
No. Yeah, it's bad. It's terrible. And the catch rule, I don't understand.
There's so much up to interpret. Man.
I mean,
you just got to hope that they interpret it the right way every time, and I don't.
No.
I just don't.
They won't. We know they won't. We know it. We know the both will be a train wreck. I mean, it was great that we had, like, 5 minutes into the season, a controversy on both. I mean, new catch rule. I mean, you say what you want. It doesn't really change anything. Like the catch tonight. Like, why would you? Like, I didn't understand. To me, it was like it hit the ground. Like, you should overturn it. Like, I mean, it just, I don't know. I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. I feel very negatively about it in answer to your question. What is your favorite training camp hype? This is referencing Pro Football Focus Mike Renner, who's a friend of the show, guest of the show, his take on everybody being in the best shape of their life this time of year.
That is a really good one, though.
I mean, that is
such a good one. Yeah. I every single camp I read about, it's somebody changing their body weight. Like last year for me, it was Noah Spence. Noah Spence shows up at Bucks camp. Wow, he's in the best shape of his life. He looks great. This year it's Will Golson. Will Golson lost like 15 pounds. It's like, wow, he's in the best shape of his life. He looks great. So I don't know. I don't know if there's a better one than that. I'm trying to think.
Okay. So you said earlier this week, I am boring. So I am a realist. So anything either.
Like a realist, like a Fisher, like real in?
No. Like someone who lives in reality. So strong pessimism.
Oh, that's lame.
Strong pessimism irks me. Strong optimism can irk me if it's not realistic.
We know it does. We know it does.
Because here's my training camp hype pet peeve that gets me going.
Okay.
And I don't want to say anything about it these days because what's the point? It's this kind of unblinding hope that everybody has that all 90 guys are going to make it. Like at least 75 guys are going to make it. Like, and just in general, that's if you ask me where people go wrong with football player analysis.
That's fair.
We're not talking about a big deal thing here. You ask me where people go wrong, it's that they aren't critical enough. The reality is most of these guys don't make it. You have to learn what to value and what you see and what not to value. And, of course, we're talking about football. So people should have fun. Fans should have fun. Fans should get caught up in the hype. They should believe they should believe all that. But it's up to us as analysts, I think. And I know we're talking about sports, so it's not like the end of the world. But, like, it's up to us as analysts to give them a clear picture and, like, education maybe on how to, like, get to that point, how to get to an educated process toward determining who to be excited about.
How to be an eternal pessimist like you. We get it.
Realist.
I hate pessimism, too. I don't know if this is a pet peeve of mine because, like, I've done this before, but this always happens in training camp. You'll watch a training camp highlight, which, I mean, it might be with zero pads on, and then you'll go to yourself and you'll be like, man, he looks more confident this year. How many times have you heard somebody say more confident or more comfortable? I do that all the time now that I think about it. So maybe this is a little bit of a...
That's a good one. Also, he knows the offense or the defense better is one of my favorites. And it's
another year in the system.
It's always right after he interviewed the guy.
Great,
like,
one. I love that one.
He interviews the guy and he goes, so what do you feel like, what's different about your second year? Just another year in the system, another year around the coaches, another year practicing and looking at the defense, man.
Yeah, and you sucked, like, last year with the system and the coaches. Yeah. So now what?
And the reporter that asked the question could think that the guy sucked, but just by getting that answer, he like starts to question himself. He's like, you know what? I'm going to write a positive spin to this story. This guy can do it.
Another year.
another year is a big difference. I changed a lot in the last year. You know, it's just, and again, it's optimism. It's the time of optimism. It is. It's good. It's good for fans. It's good for the game. For analysts, it's super dangerous because a lot of them get pulled into it really easily. And I think sacrifice some credibility. I like when people can be critical even during training camp and stuff. You know about the all chirp team greats like Jalen Ramsey and Richard Sherman. What are the best trash talk lines you guys have heard in your time watching football? Trash talk lines. Dude, Chris Carter talked major trash.
Yeah, people don't realize that.
Do you remember the Monday Night Football mic'd up portions? Back when mic'd up was good and not just players grunting and saying that a boy to everybody on the sideline?
Back when mic'd up was good. They started censoring everything.
Yes. You probably remember this. Chris Carter and Warren Sapp talked trash to each other for an entire Monday Night Football game. We would have been kids.
Warren Sapp is awesome. Yep. Oh,
both of them talked incredible amounts of trash. But it was like, it was like not the like kind of trash talk that like these guys are going to throw hands like any second. But it was the kind of trash talk that like we're playing a game. We're getting under each other's skins. We're going to be friends afterward. But like we're going at it. It's a battle. It's a war. It was that was one of my favorites. I have to find if that video is on YouTube somewhere because that was I love that.
I love the ice up line that Steve Smith said.
Yeah.
From Aqib Talib. I went back and watched it because I read this question. I went back and watched it because I was trying to think of one. And I went back and watched it. And they ask him like, oh, it seemed like you and Aqib Talib really got into it during the game. And his quote afterwards was, yeah, you'll have to ask Talib about that. He didn't finish the game. Ice up, son. And then walks away. It's just like so incredible. Just so beautiful. Him and Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco. Ocho is one of my favorite trash talkers too. I know he's not a DB, but like I watched the Football Life on Ocho Cinco recently.
Yeah.
And they do his little mic'd up segment, and he literally tells Chris McAllister, he's like, "Hey Chris, I'm doing a slant."
Yeah.
And it's like, and he was doing a slant, yeah. And he still caught the ball. Like, it's so, he just did crazy stuff, man.
That's awesome. That's great. Also, you have to throw in there, Cortland Finnegan was an all chirp team great, but
I mean, he got Andre Johnson to beat the crap out of him. So
that's exactly what I was going to reference. You know, I love the all chirp guys, but like, you gotta be able to take it once in a while. You're going to make some guys snap. And when he got hammered by Andre Johnson, I was rolling, man. That was a great day in football. It was really a funny moment that will always stand out to me was when they finally threw down. I mean, he had just agitated Andre Johnson for years, it felt like, and he was just finally like enough and just hammered him. Last question, is Greedy the perfect name for a cornerback? It pretty much is. It's got to be up there. Greedy? Like,
no, it's a
going to get that ball very, like
it corner, is.
It's a trash talky type of name.
It all comes together right there. It's that's a prototypical round one cornerback name. Actually, that kind of sounds like the name that would be given to like a day three corner, where it's like you're watching day three of the draft and you're like, yeah, Greedy Williams from Texas Tech or something or whatever. And you're like, wait, who is this? And so like, I feel like it's like a pure corner name, but not a top prospect name. Not saying that it's a negative, but I feel like that would be a name that I would hear on like day three. And I'd kind of like perk up and be like, wait, who is this? What's his name? Greedy Williams.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Instead, he has the talent to match the name, which is better.
So far, so good. And I think it's going to materialize for him this season. By the way, Draft Twitter son, two plays in, he scrambled for 3 yards and he scrambled for 2 yards on third down. So
you can't give live nothing play yet. By play of a podcast. Well, it's not that's live. Gonna come out the next day.
Yeah, it's not live. I'm just trying to get your reactions to those moments, but they were.
It's a logged meeting.
Well, they went for it on fourth. Did they go for it on fourth? No, they didn't. This play-by-play thing isn't right. I'm going to watch the game. We'll be back next week. We're talking quarterbacks in the 2019 NFL Draft. It's been a class that gets ripped on quite a bit, but we're
Draft
here.
Network this Sunday night at midnight. Ooh, yeah. Finally releases.
Forgot about that. Yeah, this Sunday, midnight. Stay up for it. I know you got busy days on Monday, but it's going to be worth it. At least check the site out at midnight. It's going to be cool. So until then, keep it locked right here, guys, on Locked On NFL Draft.